Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. Shady Rays is having their best deal of the year. Go to shadyrays.com and use promo code SGPN for 50% off two pairs of polarized sunglasses. We're also brought to you by SGPN's Draft Week. All week long, SGPN has you covered with draft props, mock drafts, and our live NFL draft watch party. So make sure to smash that subscribe button at youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast.
Howdy-ho, Generinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 333. After this weekend, I guess we will have to dedicate this episode to the future of the future king of the UFC's heavyweight division, Muhammad Usman. So this goes out to him. There's the chuckle I'm looking for.
There it is.
Thank you for coming to the show. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. We're going to recap last night's UFC fight night, Pavlovich versus Blades. Mediocre results for us, but mediocre is a step up from the week previous, so I guess we'll take it. I expect more, but anyhow. So we'll recap that, and then we will get you set for this coming week's UFC event, a fight night. It's going to wrap up April, so we will give you a quick preview of that, and then this coming Wednesday and Thursday, we will give you all our hopefully winning picks for that. I'm not doing this alone. I have someone here to occasionally laugh at my jokes. It's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
So a couple of things. First of all, our picks would have been a lot better if our picks also had any fight IQ. I consistently am going to talk about how fight IQ tends to be the thing that costs us the most. And it's also the hardest thing in the world to handicap, because like fight to fight, people will have great fight IQ and terrible fight IQ, which is just so disappointing. So we'll talk about that in a second. And then I wanted to make reference to Muhammad Usman, who you
he's made so bad.
To. But I have to give a shout out to, hang on, I put it even in a note. Got to give a shout out to Joe G in the Discord, who, when somebody made a comment about him being the motor, he said, yeah, it's got to be one of those 3-cylinder geo trackers.
Yeah,
which I like is that as well. Yep. Very well put. And then I also put a note in here to give a shout out to GH Derek, who, after watching Carol Hosa versus Norma Dumont, said this fight really could have been an email, which those are probably. Fantastic. Yeah, those are two of my favorite comments of all time in the Discord. They add me out loud laughing at them.
Yes. So, same with me. I went through it. I had to watch the Phoenix Suns first, so that's why I was not watching the fights live. And then after I watched the Suns take care of business, I watched fights, and then I went through the Discord to see what everyone was up to. Yeah, there was some lots of fun being had in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. And speaking of that, if this is the Fight IQ episode, then this should have been dedicated to Jong Lee. You should have tipped me off in advance, because he's Mr. Fight IQ himself.
Yeah, this is going to be the Fight IQ one. 1,000%.
Nothing gets Jong madder than that. Nothing gets him madder than nothing. He's pretty even tempered guy, but the fight IQ, bad fight IQ boy.
And this is a great segue into the first fight. Let's just talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Worst fight IQ ever?
No, ever is a too all-encompassing. There's been far worse, but this is
worse than standing in front of a power puncher for 3 minutes when you have the best wrestling in the division and his wrestling is untested.
Yeah.
And shooting no takedowns until you're on legs made out of spaghetti. Like that's literally what he did. He's the best wrestler currently, maybe ever, in the heavyweight division. Like, you know, like you could put him up against maybe Cain Velasquez, Brock Lesnar, but even he had like his moments where he wasn't like pristine in his wrestling. But like Cain Velasquez, Brock Lesnar, him, I don't think Mark Coleman, because that's probably too old, but like he's a top five heavyweight wrestler of all time. Shot no takedowns until he was woozy. And against a guy who his only big skill is like boxing. Like he's got no top game, he's got no back jiu-jitsu, he's got no kicks even. Like literally you just walked into punching against a punching machine.
Yeah, the main thing, my main takeaway from the fight is we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. The NBA and NHL playoffs are here, and what better way to get down on some player prop parlays than over at Underdog Fantasy? Besides daily NHL, NBA, and MLB games, they've also already got NFL best ball drafts with a guaranteed $500,000 in prizes. Head over to underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. It was hanging over my head. I had to do it. This... we should have seen it coming in. This seems to be the new Curtis Blaydes. This is three straight fights. He's not shot a takedown, or he's not. I don't think he shot a takedown in any of them, has he? No. He thinks he's a knockout artist now.
But to be fair, in the Tom Aspinall one, he didn't need to. It was 15 seconds long. So I'm not gonna shortchange him on that one. And I don't know with the Chris Daukaus one. Maybe the Chris Daukaus one should have been the canary in the coal mine here, because like,
yeah,
he didn't shoot a takedown in that fight, I don't believe. And he found success with his hands. And then people talked about him afterwards, like he was the third coming of Christ, right? Like,
are you the second?
I am when we get to contender series, or as we'll talk about tomorrow. Apparently I'm a Bellator.
Oh yeah,
guy.
That's right. Yeah, we'll talk about that on Monday. Yeah,
I don't like even saying that, but I apparently. But yeah, no, like this felt a lot like the old Gabriel Gonzaga after head kicking, Mirko Krokop. Like after that, he was like, "Oh, I kickbox now," and it's like, "No, you don't, dude. You're a jiu-jitsu specialist." And like, maybe that's the problem with Curtis Blaydes. It's like, dude, he should have shot a takedown 5 seconds into this fight. And I'm still convinced he'd win that fight.
I'm a home run hitter now, guys. Yeah. We see this happen all the time, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to ask you this. Is there anything, any part of that fight that would make you say if he didn't go back and fight his fight, you wouldn't pick him again?
No, I assume he would have been able to get inside, even though he was fighting the man with, top of the ape index in the UFC. Remember, we talked about that before. Arm length based on height, but
he doesn't even use it particularly well, right? Like, no. I mean, he's not like Stefan Struve in the opposite direction where he's like not using it at all. But like, he's not a lanky, rangy fighter. He's got big shoulders and he throws hooks and straights and stuff like that. So like, I don't know. This was just so disappointing as somebody who enjoys Curtis Blaydes and thinks that he's wildly underrated to see him go in. And I'm standing by my statement, the worst fight IQ I've ever seen.
Maybe he thinks this is the only way to the absolute top for him. The only way he's actually going to get the title shots he probably feels he deserves. Wrestling is not going to do it for him. He has to do something flashy. Maybe that's the case.
I mean, maybe, but if he came in here and pounded out Pavlovich, even if they were like, well, that wasn't fun to watch. So what? Then he pounds out Tom Aspinall in a rematch. So then he pounds out Stipe Miocic. Like at a certain point, they have to give it to him, right?
Yeah.
Like he's going to run.
Certain point it being the key phrase there. He's never had a title shot and he's been a top contender for 5 years now.
Yeah. And do you know what the common thread is there? Every single time he's gotten close to a title shot, he's run into a power puncher who knocked him out.
It's true. We should have seen this coming, apparently. But all the signs were there, apparently. Well, you feel this is more a case of Blaydes losing than Pavlovich winning? Is that how we're talking this up? We didn't really learn anything.
No, and to everybody out there who's like, oh, I don't know, Jones doesn't want any of Pavlovich, I actually got the exact opposite vibe off of this fight. After watching this fight, I think John Jones is salivating at the prospect of fighting Sergey Pavlovich and putting that name on his resume, because now everybody's all hyped up on this dude. And let me tell you something. I don't think he's got anything for John Jones. I think he's got nothing for John Jones.
He's talking like he's the wrestler stopper now too, which is probably not a good attitude to have, thinking that he's got his wrestling game all the holes in it are plugged up now, because Curtis Blaydes didn't take him down.
John Jones will make quicker work of him than he did Surreal Gain. He's retiring,
I heard, though, so don't worry about it. It's not going to happen.
You know, he might, though, but, you know, the thing about John Jones that we can always say is he always tweets shit like that when he wants money from the UFC.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. If he goes out there and just absolutely sparks Stipe Miocic, and there's this U.S. versus Russia fight sitting on their doorstep with Pavlovich, I think they go to the well and go get some more water for John Jones here.
Yep. Yep. Aren't you guys pro-Russia, though?
I don't believe so.
Isn't Dana White and his friends are, aren't they?
I don't.
I'm pretty sure they are.
I don't believe so. They haven't been to Russia in a minute.
Yeah. So anyhow, anything else to say about the main event? Disappointing. Who really cares what's next for Curtis Blaydes? Like, we're done with you now.
If he thought he wasn't going to get a title fight wrestling, he's never getting one now.
Yeah.
He'll straight up never get one now.
He shall remain the gatekeeper now. Especially now that Derek Lewis is on the way.
Somebody told me he was off of a UFC contract. That was his last fight on his contract.
Oh yeah.
Well, and if
Bellator champion, here we come.
Or just like the easiest PFL heavyweight season you've ever seen.
Yeah, that too.
You imagine that dude versus like Bruno Capoloza.
Forgetting about PFL. Yeah, why would you go to Bellator unless they were paying you good money? Like, you're going to make more than $1 million a year in Bellator.
They seem to be paying guys like Corey Anderson a lot of money. So yeah. Curtis Blaydes might just, you know, like the Curtis Blaydes might just be right down their alley.
Because Ryan Bader is their champion, right?
Dude, could you imagine what he would do to Ryan Bader? I mean,
unless he boxed Ryan Bader. Yeah, he might. You never know. All right, so we whiffed on the main event, -163. Co-main event. We whiffed on the co-main event. We wrote off Bruno Silva too soon. This was pretty bad fight IQ, too. We were hoping Prativaras was going to be a smart fighter and avoid what happened to him, but no, he decided I'm going to kickbox with this dangerous striker who has what 12. Well, let me check. He had going into the fight 19 knockouts out of 22 wins. I'm going to kickbox this guy and I'm going to get my head knocked off. TKO, knees and punch. 3:35 into the first round. It was one of those. He disputed the finish, but probably because he woke up.
No reason to dispute that one. And actually, there were a couple of disputed finishes on this night. And let me tell you something. I'm with all of them. I think all of them are fine, just the way they are. One of them I reap the rewards of, which we'll talk about. But even that one I have a defense for later. Brad Tavares, why are you not making it gritty in the clinch?
Yeah, that's what you do every fight. That's why you're not really that exciting.
Right. He's terribly boring. And instead, he decided to fight an exciting fight. And the people who have fought, if you go back and you watch Bruno Silva, like, he had some trouble with Andrew Sanchez in the clinch. Right. Like, he had some trouble with Andrew Sanchez because Andrew Sanchez made it a gritty fight. Now, granted, he came back and won that fight, but like, Gerald Meerschaert made it gritty and he didn't come back and beat Gerald Meerschaert. So like, what game plan are you following, Tavar? Like, such a bummer.
Yeah. Two straight losses for him too. So he's got to look out, but I don't think this is, I guess Bruno Silva's stock's gone up a bit, but it's not like, it depends who he fights next. It's not like I'm automatically gonna pick him in every fight or fade him in every fight going forward. It depends how smart I think the fighter is gonna be.
Yeah, you just gotta look for somebody with an ounce of grappling, and they should have no problem with him.
Yep. I think we got bailed out in the next fight. Bobby Green. No. Okay. Well, good.
I think we were gonna win that fight.
Let me break it down, and then I was gonna ask you a question anyhow. Bobby Green knocked out Jared Gordon with a headbutt. Incidental. He didn't mean to headbutt him, but he got him nonetheless, and then pounded him on the ground until the fight stopped. 4:35 into the first round, and then luckily they actually go back and check these things, and they realized it was a clash of heads that to the temple that that took Gordon out originally and put Green in that position. So it was a no contest. So Bobby Green's career ends in a no contest. His career, yeah, yeah, Bobby Green's yeah, career. Yeah. So I was going to ask you if they run this back and whenever.
I've been Jared Gordon. Yeah. Okay, he was landing. He was landing on the feet. Yeah. And he hadn't even gotten his wrestling going. Like,
no, that's maybe a problem. He hadn't gotten his wrestling going.
I mean, I don't know. He seemed to be doing what he needed to on the feet. He was doing that, like, waiting in left to right that he throws. It was landing. He was being outstruck, but it was only, it was 17 to 23.
Look at you.
Yeah, and he actually hit Bobby. I think he hit Bobby Green harder than Bobby Green hit him.
Yeah, Bobby Green doesn't really hit hard. He's more of a Nate Diaz type, you know, slap punches.
Yeah, and so, like, when you consider that and the fact that, like, you know, Jared Gordon landed some really nice leg kicks in there, too, that seemed to do damage to Bobby Green. I think that was going to build up, and that was kind of my whole point when I broke this fight down, as I said, you know, I think Jared Gordon is going to be better later in the fight. I don't think we saw enough of a difference in them to really change the line all that much, other than the fact that, Jared Gordon was a massive underdog going in. So, like, if they do run it back, I bet you the line's closer. I bet you.
I was thinking it might go the other way.
No, I bet you don't get 225 again. I bet you get like 170. It's going to be my prediction.
Apparently.
I'll still take him at 170. I mean, I loved him at 225, but I'd still take him at 170.
All right. We finally got a win here. Yasmin Lucindo. Boy. Broga Walker, goodbye. I'm sure you're a lovely person, but I don't think this UFC thing is all it's cracked out to be for you. 30-27 across the board. Maybe they shouldn't feed her to fighters that are, 15 years younger than her, too? That didn't help. But little disappointing, actually, for Lucindo. It seemed like if she had just, you know, cut out some of the fancy stuff and just put her foot down on the gas, she could have finished this fight at any point, but she was content to try to hit fancy spinning moves. But like I said, if she just laid it on Broga Walker was tough for sure, but if she actually just laid on a whole bunch of combos instead of like trying to do some fancy spinning thing, then maybe she could have finished this fight. But she got a win regardless, her first UFC win.
I'm actually more fine with this fight IQ than most of the other stuff we saw. She was hitting her so hard. If in the third round, when you're up, you know, massively in this fight with no chance that any punch coming the other way is going to land, I don't know. You want to try a spinning back elbow? Try a spinning back elbow. I don't give a shit. And like, here's the other thing. She's only 22. Room to grow here. And like, I mean, don't get me wrong, Brogan Walker Sanchez or Brogan Walker, depending on which one we're using here, she's definitely the worst fighter in this division. She lost to Juliana Miller, who's the second worst fighter in this division.
Because Muhammad Usman's not in this division. What a bad season of tough, eh? That was the heavyweight season too, wasn't it?
Yes.
These women were in the house with
those men
in the same season. Oh yes. My God, what a horrible season.
I mean, like,
what came out of this season?
We get Zach Pounga. But apart from that, we didn't get a lot. Ooh, this is the problem with the Ultimate Fighter, though, is that like the types of people who are coming off of it are Brogan Walker. And like, no offense to Brogan Walker, but she's 34 years old. Yeah. Like her career is kind of like come and gone already, right? Like she already fought. She fought Aaron Blanchfield 3 years ago in Invicta and got beat then. Aaron Blanchfield was like a child at the time.
Literally, yes.
Yeah, like almost literally a child at the time. I mean, she lost to Pearl Gonzalez, who had been released by the UFC. She lost to, Juliana. Like, her career is kind of like already past her. And that's the kind of people they're getting on The Ultimate Fighter now, is that like, it's not people who are looking to enter the UFC at 5-0. Like make a big run like we're seeing on, you know, like we're seeing the Jack Della Maddalenas show up in Contender Series.
Well, it makes more sense to do that,
right? The Jelton Almeidas in the
one like fight instead of a freaking reality show
and that's the difference too, is that like the people who are highly touted prospects, and especially the international ones, would way rather have one fight in the Apex with their coaches by their side than three fights with random ass coaches that were assigned to them at the beginning of the show and have to live for 3 months away from their families. So like, instead you're getting the, you know, Jordan Heidermans and the Muhammad Usmans and the, you know, all of those types of guys coming to the Ultimate Fighter. And like, they can't hang with the bottom of the divisions they're fighting in.
Yep. So we're cutting Brogan Walker, right?
I think so. 0-2 in losses to, I mean, just some.
Changed weight classes, though. Dan, it's a new weight class for her.
I don't
fly weight.
I don't think it matters.
No. Bye-bye.
No.
You know what does matter, though? You know what does matter? That we're brought to you by the SGPN merch store. That's very important news. In honor of the NBA playoffs, from now until the end of April, get 10% off anything in the SGPN merch store when you use the promo code SGPNBA. I'm slowing down because that code threw me for a loop the first time I had to say it. So head over to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com and use the promo code SGPNBA to get 10% off everything, especially the SGPN MMA gambling podcast merch. We got some classic merch in there. So check it out. If you want to wear catchphrases from the show, then that's the place for you to go. Wow, that rhymed, dude. That's got to go on a shirt. Anyhow.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This one felt nice. I thought we were going to lose it, but we didn't. And it was a minus one. Oh, sorry. We had listened to a minus 300. Try to be professional here.
That was my lock too. I'm back on the lock track.
Yes, it's true. We'll get to that very shortly. Jeremiah Wells came through for us. Whew. It was a sweaty one. We got him at minus 110. He beat Matthew Semelsberger. Split decision, 30-27, 28-29, 30-27, a very strange scorecard. All three of those cards are probably the wrong cards, but...
I don't think so. I think they were all right.
Oh, that's right. You said that in the Discord.
I think they all have merit. Let me back this up. So, like...
You take it over. Go ahead.
I think Matthew Semelsberger quite possibly did more damage in both the first and the second round. He had Wells hurt on the feet in both of those rounds. The only problem is then he wound up on his back for like 3 minutes each in both of those rounds. And it wasn't like Wells did nothing on top. And of course the way the criteria reads is who did more damage towards finishing the fight, or, you know, did more work towards finishing the fight. Cause sometimes it's grappling. It doesn't necessarily have to be damage. Who did more work towards finishing the fight? It can be either in a single blow or a cumulative. So like, could you argue that Jeremiah Wells in both of those first two rounds did more cumulative damage with his long top control and the elbows he was throwing and the work he was doing, you know, trying to set up like some arm triangles and stuff like that? Yeah, you could argue he came closer to finishing it. You could also argue that in the 30 seconds that Semelsberger was landing on the feet, that he did more damage. I do think you had to pick one of these two scorecards, though, because both the first and the second, to me, were almost identical. It would be really hard to say, oh, Semelsberger won the first and Wells won the second. If you like Semelsberger in the first, you have to like Semelsberger in the second. He did pretty much the same exact thing. And vice versa. If you like Wells in the first, you have to like Wells in the second. Obviously, Wells wins the third. He didn't get tagged on the feet. He got his grappling going in the third. So, like, the only thing that was for certain to me was that Wells won the third, and maybe the only other thing that was certain to me was whoever you scored the first for, you should score the second for. So 30-27 for Wells or 29-28 Semmelsberger, I actually think are both two very defensible scorecards.
Very defensible argument by you too. I buy it. Sounds good to me. Thoughts on Wells going forward after this?
Still good. You okay. know, still good. Henzo Gracie Philly still rules. Yep. They still only have one loss, although they're about to get a second.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, which is sad.
JDM.
Yeah, Jack Della Maddalena versus Sean Brady. Can I tell you that that matchup pisses me off the more I think about
it's
it?
It's got the discard all a flurry, yes.
Oh, because I love both that's guys. A total,
that's those guys are right up our discards, Allie, both those guys.
Yeah, I love both of those guys.
Della Maddalena more, though. Brady's already kind of soured himself.
Well, here's the thing, though. Brady had a tough fight against Bilal Muhammad. Why is he not getting a, you know, somebody like a Neil Magny?
Why are they putting two young guys against each other? Like, doesn't make sense. I hate when they do that.
I just don't get it. They're trying to let Jack Della Maddalena catapult himself to the top of the rankings and really.
Yeah, give him Vicente Luque, which was the rumored fight.
Vicente Luque, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, although he's getting Michelle Pereira. Like, people like that are, like, need to be faced. I mean, he should have gotten Jorge Masvidal before Jorge Masvidal got Gilbert Burns. Like, those are the guys he should be getting, and instead you're gonna make your prospects eat each other, and that's sad.
It's probably easier said than done, though. I'm sure plenty of
none of those guys at the top want to fight Jack Della Maddalena. Yeah. Who the hell would want to fight that guy right?
Yep. When's this fight taking place? No, totally
UFC
off,
2 UFC 290 path. The International Fight Week, which is that card. Oh my god, man. We don't have to get into it right now, but that card looks amazing.
Which is why Canada's getting screwed the month before, right?
Yeah, that fight card looks less amazing.
All right, so main card.
You go ahead and enjoy Juliana Pena, though.
Hey, Vancouver is nowhere near. It's about as close to me as it is to you, so I won't be attending the event. Don't worry. All right, we both went 2-2 on the main card with the one no contest thrown in there. Here's my lock. Didn't come through for me. I guess I should have thought this through more, thought the layoff more, but Ricky Glenn got his lights turned out by Christos Giagos. I was predicting the opposite might happen. Glenn might knock out Giagos, but he really wasn't in this fight. It only took a minute 35. Giagos saved his career again, I think. He's had 12 UFC fights now. It's insane. He's been around so long.
Yeah, although that's in two stints, too, which is worth mentioning.
Yeah, so I said he saved his career again because he's been cut once.
He did get fired once, and then he was close to being fired again. Dude, he has fought some dudes, too. Like, his fight to come back to the UFC was a short-notice fight against Charles Oliveira. The first time he's debuted twice in the UFC, obviously, once, you know, and then his re-debut. Yeah. The first one was Gilbert Burns, and the second one was Charles Oliveira. Nice. He's fought Narman Sakurian. Like, Jesus, man. This one, though, shocking to me, maybe low fight IQ by Giagos that worked out anyway, because this is a guy who has really, like, rededicated himself to his wrestling and his jiu-jitsu. And, you know, obviously, apart from a fight with Armand Sakurian and the one following that with Thiago Moises, who are, like, you know, two guys you don't want to grapple with. Apart from that, it had been working, right? Like, he went out there and subbed Sean Soriano. I thought for sure his jiu-jitsu was going to come through here. And I like Ricky Glenn to stuff it. And it was kind of crazy that he didn't look like he wanted to wrestle at all.
It's not like Glenn really got to knock off too much cage rust either. He just got his brain knocked around instead. So may have to think twice before we pick him in the future.
Getting a little on the old side for a featherweight, too.
He just turned 34. So, and he did talk to Dan recently, too. So we should have realized that. Hopefully, maybe the stink got knocked off him when he got knocked out.
So did Brady Heath, Dan.
Yeah, that's true. We'll get to him. Montel Jackson first. He sure looked good. He looked the way you'd hope a way bigger, way younger, way longer fighter in a bantamweight fight would look against Hani Yahya, who now that he has like multiple ball patches, I think we got to totally fade him. He got knocked out via punch at 3:42 into the first round. Montel Jackson kind of seemed like he felt bad about doing that, but that's what your job is, sir.
That's because Hani is like a sweetheart.
Yeah. There's nothing to say here.
Like, if he can get the fight to the ground, he's competitive. And if he can't get the fight to the ground, he's not competitive. And that's pretty much going to be that. That's not just him in 2023. That was him in like 2007. Yeah. You know, like he beat Mark Hominick way back when, and he did it largely by being like, well, we're going to grapple. And then shortly thereafter, he fought Kid Yamamoto, couldn't grapple, got his head kicked in with soccer kicks. And like, that's been him his whole career. It's like, if he can grapple you a little bit, good news, he's going to beat you. And if he can't grapple a little bit, he's non-competitive.
Yep. Thoughts on Montel Jackson? The rankings I do on my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Sign up, get me in your inbox every day, pretty much. He was 19th based on performance heading into this, and now he's jumped into the top 10 after this performance. So thoughts on him? He needs a top 10 opponent, I would think, or at least a ranked opponent.
I actually didn't rank him after this fight. I sat there I debated for like 10 to 15 minutes between him and Mario Bautista for my number 15 spot.
That's way more than anyone takes to do their whole voting ballot. I'm glad you actually put some thought into it.
Oh, I put thought into it. I was going to put him in there, and then I saw I already had Mario Bautista at 15, and then I walked away, drank a cup of coffee, came back, looked at the resumes again, and I just couldn't justify it because the Hani Yaya fight doesn't look particularly great. Yeah. And if you look at some of Montel Jackson's other fights, like JP Bays or Jesse Strader on short notice who missed weight, like, I don't know. The Julio Arce one looks kind of good. But my thought process after that, immediately after debating that for far longer than I should have, why not just run it? Why not run Montel Jackson versus Mario Bautista? That's a sick fight.
Now, once again, we want our prospects to be on separate paths, right?
I mean, but here's my question, though. And I agree with you, right? I think we don't want to have our prospects cannibalize each other. But they're also barely prospects anymore, man.
Yeah.
Like at this point in time, you know, Mario Bautista made his debut in the UFC almost 5 years ago now, and he's 29. Yeah. Montel Jackson, he made his debut. Hang on, I have opening a tab right here. He made his debut. It'll be 5 years ago in August, so he's been in the UFC for 5 years, and he's 30 years old already too. It's bantamweight. This isn't a division where like guys in their mid 30s make huge runs. So like maybe these two guys are like not all that much of prospects anymore. Like if they were this age and they were middleweights or they were this age and light heavyweights, yeah, for sure don't run them. But like this is probably the time where you got to start running guys like that.
Yeah, 8 fights and 9 fights respectively in the UFC for Bautista and Jackson. So that's what I'm saying. Give them names. Give them name fighters if their name fighters are willing to fight these guys.
Yeah, but here's just devil's advocate one more time.
I know who to give Montel Jackson. Cody Garbrandt.
we could knock
his hat off.
But here's the you could give them, you know, the Cody Garbrandts of the world too. But like somebody like that. But Dominic Cruz. Yeah. But at the same time, like you wouldn't walk away from any of those fights being like, ha, Montel Jackson is that guy.
I know.
So run them against each other.
Fine. Book it. Too much time on bantamweight undercard fight. I think we should move on to talk about women's featherweight. Boy,
could have been an email. Final word on it.
Norma Dumont, I picked her, so I'm happy that she won. She beat Carol Hosa 29-28 across the board. I had her at a good number, actually. It was almost the pick 'em fight, basically. It was minus 110, I believe. Minus 115.
Yeah, Hosa should have shot some takedowns.
Yep. Fight was bleh. Both fighters are bleh. Don't need to see them.
Dumont's got a little bit of power, I will say that.
Yeah.
Like that made it a little bit more interesting. Like she was snapping Hosa's head back. People were like, oh, look at the stats. They're kind of close. I saw a couple of people on Twitter being like, Hosa could win this. And I was like, have you seen the punches she's taking? Yeah. Like, just watch a couple of them. She's not hitting Dumont the same way Dumont's hitting her.
Yep. Let's talk about heavyweights.
Let's talk about him.
Mohamed Usman. Oh, boy. his lower body is insanely huge. How does he find pants is what I want to know. He's so big. He beat Junior Taffa. They both are horrible fighters. Now they shouldn't be anywhere near the UFC. 29-28 across the board. Usman was on skates multiple times from Taffa rocking him, but then Taffa was just, it's easy to say he just settled to be taken down and have Usman on top of him. But like I said, you see the size of that guy. But yeah, Usman didn't do much when he was on top of Taffa. Lucky I was watching this one recorded, so I could skip through all that. Most of the fight I skipped through because it was just Usman lying on top of Taffa. Taffa not trying to get up and Usman not really doing much damage to him at all. So horrible fight. I lost, I'll admit it. Dan had Muhammad Usman at plus 100, your big underdog.
So I'm not going to be happy about having watched this fight.
No.
Nobody in the whole world is. But I am going to be happy about the fact that I told everybody that Junior Taffa's takedown defense is hot dog shit. Because it's so bad, man. If Muhammad Usman is controlling you like that, and you're right, he's big. Is his jiu-jitsu good? No. In fact, he could have passed Junior Taffa's half guard anytime he wanted. He chose to stay there because he was like, I don't know, if I go to mount, he might like get out. He had like no faith in his own ground control, and Junior just took that. Never did anything else other than open up his half guard. He's so bad off of his back. And it's exactly what I said. Shout out to Nicholas Djurjevic for exposing that weakness.
Yes. Forgot. It's a Djurjevic factor. There's a good title for us. I'll have to look up how to spell his name, but I'll do it. I will effort and do that. Djurjevic factor. Yeah. Don't want to see other guy fight again, but I'm sure we will. Both of them fight again. Definitely Usman. Catchweight fight, because William, they were calling him Gomez, but I think that was just ugly American talking. It's got to be Gomi, does it not?
I think it has to be, but I don't know.
It's got to be a silent S. But anyhow, we're going to call him William Gomi. He came in heavy. So he lost, 30% of his purse or something like that, 20 or 30%, mm-hmm. which is not fun. But he ended up winning, which is rare. Usually fighters that miss weight lose their fights, but he beat a very good fighter over Francis Marshall, split decision, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. I thought Gomi had won the fight, even though we were on the Marshall side of things, but there you go.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody scored this fight for Marshall. The only thing I could have seen could have been a Francis Marshall draw here, because Marshall could have won that last round 10-8. I wouldn't personally give him 10-8, but I thought he might have been able to get a draw. Another low IQ fight, though. It's like Marshall landed 2 out of 5 takedowns. 4 of them were attempted in the third round, though. And both of the successful ones were in the last round. And he wound up with 3 minutes of control time in that round as a result. Like, where the hell was that in round 1 and 2? And like, would he have definitely won the fight? Who knows for sure. But like, he would have had a lot better of a chance.
Yep. But they're both still decent prospects, right?
As yes. long as
Gomi doesn't keep missing weight. And then in the curtain jerker bantamweights Brady Kickstand, I was going to make hesitant jokes, saying I'm going to be hesitant picking him going forward. I might still, even though he did come through for us. A very rare pulled a snatched a victory out of the jaws of defeat. You really don't see people make last minute comebacks, but he did. 421 into the third round, knocked out, TKO punches, denied Baccarat, basically made him quit with his pressure. We had him at plus 135, so we thought it was going to be a really good night. It turned out to be a mediocre night, but this is a rare thing. You really don't see fighters come back.
No, not often. I mean, like, the thing is, though, is he's a more likely fighter to see with a big comeback because of, I mean, he's got insane cardio, right? Like, his cardio is phenomenal for a dude who is fighting that kind of grueling of a fight. And let's be honest, took some damage early. He really poured it on. I know some people were complaining about the stoppage here. That referee told Denal Baccarat to move 4 or 5 times. The first 3 or 4 times he did. And then the last time he did not. So like you have to stop.
He did not.
and then he wound up finished. So I actually don't mind the finish. And I certainly didn't mind scoring plus 135 on Brady Kickstand. Also, you know, just like a fun guy to keep watching. Like, he's young.
He's improving.
He's an up and comer. He's clearly proving he's got like real wrestling chops. He had been figuring out a lot about the striking in this fight too. Like, the left high kick early on against Baccarell was like really successful, which was kind of surprising. So, I'm excited to see him in there again. He called out Christian Rodriguez. I love that fight. I love that fight a lot. Give him Christian Rodriguez.
C-Rod. We are firing Baccarell, Barbara Gordon, right? 3 straight losses, 2 of them via knockout.
I think
you
so.
You want to keep the gnaw around still?
He's just like, the thing is, he's exciting.
Yeah.
That's
true. It's bantamweight, though. There's so many bantamweights. They tend to get cut quicker. There's less of a bantamweight.
I'm just thinking about that knockout against Brandon Davis, and I like want to see it again. Yeah.
Watch it. UFC Fight Pass. Go watch it.
Yeah. You got to use ESPN Plus in the States.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
We've got you got to have a subscription to 35 different things to do film now.
Ugh. All right. The event was kind of ick, especially for picks. We both went 5-5. Dan eked out a win, though. He lost $13 less than I did. $13.05 less than I did, Dan.
Yeah, we should have both profited, let's be honest.
We should have. You lost 122.54. I lost 135.59. It's imaginary money, though. Hopefully you did not take bet on
Don't bet $100 on every fight. That's a wild.
Then you're a fool. It's
move.
Not our fault. It is not our fault. So on the year, I'm at 61%. I am dropping. I was in closer to the 70s, or 67 at least, my usual rate. Dan is 49%. So I guess he crept up a little bit with this performance.
A little bit.
We're
going to talk about my regional success in a second.
Yes. No, that's tomorrow, son.
All right, tomorrow.
We don't record it a day in advance.
We don't tape these back to back.
We talk to each other 4 times a week. All right, so we're both down money, but there's plenty of time. Dan nailed his lock, though. Lucindo, minus 300, which is more of a Jeff Chalks Fox style lock than you. Usually try to take riskier locks, but no. This year, he's doing it right. He's 10-2 on his locks. Good for a 20% return on investment. How about you? Look at you go.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it is. You are phenomenal. I had Ricky Glenn. Did not go well. I'm at 6-3 now. I am down $49, or down 5.5%. So I gotta get that up. Dan's lock, we didn't mention this. Not his lock. His dog, we didn't mention it, but Priscilla Cachoeira came in overweight. And then they go through the whole weigh-in thing and do all that. And then later on they announce, oh, the fight's canceled. Like, which is pretty much every week this happens to us, does it not?
Yeah, it was a pretty big bummer.
And that was his dog. So he didn't get that. I hit my dog. That was my one positive on this card. Brady Heestand plus 135. So that was nice. So I'm only 2-8 on dogs this year, down 53%. So I need all these dogs to come through that I can get. We both missed on our props. He had Tavares via decision. That did not go well. I had Wells via KO. At least he won, but
yeah. And he had that flying knee that I thought almost do it.
Didn't get KO. And then our Hungry Man, John Superfan Parlay, Cachoeira was half of that. So right off the bat, it was
that spot.
In the toilet. And then Wells didn't knock anyone out. So there you go. That's that card. Really not much of a card. It was all right, I guess. It wasn't.
Yeah, I had fun watching it.
I tend to always base
it. The main event made my blood boil. I had to sit around for like 3 hours. I had to sit around for like 3 hours afterwards and calm myself down. But yeah, no, other than that.
Luckily, his family is usually in bed by then, so only the dogs get yelled at, right, at that point?
That's right. Only Muggsy Bogues and Michael Bisping.
Right, and they don't know what he's saying. They don't care. All right, we got another fight card to wet our whistle, to wet our bank accounts this week. You see Fight Night Song versus Simone. They were supposed to fight this weekend, but they've been pushed ahead. 5-round fight to main event. This card, because Armin Sarukian, Hanato Moicano fell off. And these cards are always so weak that they never have a suitable replacement fight to move up into the main event. So they have to move fights from elsewhere. So we got Song Yudong versus Ricky Simone at the top, UFC Apex, sorry, once again, as per usual. Then Caio Bahio, who Dan just interviewed for this week's Top Turtle, right?
That's correct.
Yes. He's fighting Mikhail Oluwe, also a Chuck. It's one of the ones I have fun saying. Rodolfo Vieira versus Cody Brennage. Emily Ducote tries to make a comeback here against Pollyanna Vienna. Marcos Rogério de Lima versus Waldo Costa Ortiz in the battle of multiple names. And then he's Joshua now on Wikipedia. Joshua Quinlan versus Ange Lusa.
He's not fighting Ange Lusa anymore. Lusa's out of that fight, and he's fighting newcomer Trey Waters, who's fresh off of a think he won for Fury FC like 2 weeks ago.
Thank you, stupid Wikipedia.
Yeah, but Trey Waters is taking that fight now, which you guys might remember Trey Waters too. Came off of Contender Series. He's the one who lost to Gabriel Bonfim, which is like a, I mean, like no shame in losing to Gabriel Bonfim. So yeah, like now he's getting his chance.
He's like Troy McClure. You may remember him from places, right? Such as losing. All right. So that's the main card, ESPN Plus. Prelims are on ESPN 2 and ESPN Plus. Martin Boudet, Jake Collier, chunky guy battle. Julian Arosa versus Fernando Padilla. Nathan Levy versus Pete Rodriguez. The sickos already talked about that fight in the Discord. Who would be talking about that fight in advance? But no, the people that are looking to take advantage of betting lines are talking about this fight already in our Discord. Cody Durden, Charles Johnson. Inner G, we could talk about again. Stephanie Egger versus Irina Alexeva, a new fighter, right, on the scene?
Yeah.
For UFC.
Yep.
Brian Kelleher, Journey Newsom, and Haley Cowan. What, third kick of the can here?
Third attempt to make a debut.
Yes. Versus Jamie Lynn Horth. And you said this was a pretty good fight card.
Yeah, I like a lot of these. Durden versus Johnson's real weird. Pete Rodriguez versus Nathan Levy should be fun. I'm actually excited to see Marcos Ojeda de Lima versus Waldo Cortez Acosta. Kai Bohio is always exciting. Rodolfo Vieira's grappling versus Cody Brundage's wrestling's intriguing. I like the debuts of the two women. The two women's bantamweights who are going to be making debuts. Those are like real fun ones for me. Including, you know, one woman who's like a really good finisher. So, there's a lot of intrigue in this one.
All right. And like I said, everyone is interested in it already in the Discord. So get in there if you're not already. I saw some new names pop up on the weekend, so that's always good to see. You can also find us on Twitter, SGPNMMA. Gumby likes to post, but he doesn't like to post to that. That is his job. He posts there for us. He's also at Gumby Real, and I'm at Jeff Fox Brighter. I told you about my Substack. Sign up. You can free, or you can pay, $5 a month? Or even better, it's on sale, $24 a year to get all my stuff. That's moneymma.substack.com. Listen to Top Turtle MMA podcast. So you got Kyle Bahio. Anyone else on this week's podcast?
Yeah. Jamie Lynn Horth. Debuting Jamie Lynn Horth, which is she's a good chat as well.
Cool. And read all our stuff. Listen to all our podcasts. Enter all our contests. All that good stuff over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We will be back. You're your host tomorrow for regional MMA. The region being Ireland this week. We are going across the sea and we're going to break down a fight for you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I will remain the immortal Jeff Fox. My co-host, Storm Gumby Vreeland, will be back too. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.